Thanks for sticking with us on Insight. I'm your host and MC today, Randall White. Hari Kondabolu is known as a political comedian born and raised in Queens, New York. His fans and fellow comics around the world count him as one of the sharpest and funniest voices in the U.S. He's also an actor, filmmaker, activist, and podcast host. Hari spoke with Hey Listen host Nick Bruner for Insight back in March of 2017. So give a warm Insight welcome to Hari Kondabolu.
You know, historically, I didn't talk about politicians very much. I did when I had to. It's like sports. Like, if you know sports, you can talk sports. And if you don't know sports, then you don't want to talk about sports. Narrow about it. I care about topics and big issues and how it affects people's lives and that kind of stuff. But now, you know, this isn't your normal presidency. This is very atypical. And I don't mean that in the best ways. Like, obviously, we're questioning the importance of the media. We're questioning, like, healthcare and all these fundamental things are being questioned in a very short period of time. It means that I have to keep up and I can't ignore what's happening. So if a comedian's responsibility is to address what's in the room or, you know, address what's in the air, that's there. You can't ignore that. If anything, it helps comics like Kamau and I who talk about big things because we don't need to explain as much. The president tweets something and that's our starting point. This is why it's relevant. This man just tweeted something, and that gets us to the bigger topic, hopefully.
Do you find that American comedy audiences specifically are bringing more of an awareness to politics?
You know, there are people I've seen protest in March that I have never seen protest in March before. It has activated people in a way I have never seen. Usually when people are activated like this, it's about a very specific reason. I'm against war. I support fair immigration reform, whatever it is. This is just the whole idea of a person being president who's insulted so many people and is questioning so many fundamental things about America. So when I talk to audiences, it's not to say everybody's on the same page, but they at least know that, like, something is happening and it's not agreed upon and there's turmoil. And even if you like Trump, he's a divisive candidate, which you can see. It doesn't mean people are going to get the narrowest things, nor do I like talking about the narrowest things. But at least it raises the bar a little bit because the whole country is on fire right now.
One of the things I have noticed that you do enjoy talking about on stage is race.
I don't see it as separate from myself. It's not like I'm thinking I have to talk about race right now. My lens is such where that's something I observe and experience and can write about quickly and understand. And, you know, like two comics can see a situation and, you know, one takes something superficial out of it. Like, you know, what's the deal with the way the police, you know, wear ridiculous hats? And I might look at it and say, like, cops have guns. That scares me. Those are two different angles. One is about clothing and one's about, like, life and death. And it's not to say that I don't see the hat also, but my first instinct is to talk about the gun and violence and fear. That's my first instinct. You know, I think about race a lot. It's my first observation. To me, this is observational comedy. Race, gender, sexuality, that's like stuff I pick up on quickly. It's my first instinct. My first reaction to pain has always been humor as a self-defense. So that's exactly what I'm doing. Like, I'm defending myself.
And I see that your documentary, The Problem with Apu, was picked up. Would you tell me a little bit about what that project is?
Sure. True TV allowed me to make this film I'd wanted to make for quite some time. It's currently called The Problem with Apu. And it's just about that character of Apu Nahasapima Petalan from The Simpsons, you know, the convenience store owner, and the fact that it was the only major South Asian character on television for most of my childhood. That's what people saw when they saw a brown person and what that does. Like, what impact does that make on an individual, on a community, what that says about us? Like, we wouldn't make a regular character on a show like Apu now. It would seem corny or over the top, very stereotypical, but that character's grandfathered in. And how does that fit where we are today? What's gotten better? What hasn't? What does minstrelsy look like? We have a history of that in this country. And where does this fit into that? You know, I was able to interview a lot of friends who are performers and, you know, politicians and a broad range of experiences. And, you know, I think we created a really interesting film.
Did you get a chance to speak with voice actor and notable white person Hank Azaria, who voices Apu?
I'm not saying. I think people should watch the film. I
Fair
mean,
enough.
That's kind of, that is certainly a part of the movie, our search for Hank. So I'm going to leave that there for people to see.
What do you expect from hardcore Simpsons fans? How do you expect they'll digest your documentary when they see it? And what do you expect back from them?
I mean, I think it's a range, just like people are a range. I think some people are going to be really upset because they don't want The Simpsons questioned. You know, they'll think I'm a killjoy or I don't understand The Simpsons, or some people will whine political correctness. But the thing about Simpsons fans is that they're also extremely smart, right? It's not a homogenous group, but there's a lot of, like, you know, I love The Simpsons. First of all, that has to be acknowledged. Like, I'm a huge Simpsons fan. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do comedy. It made me believe that you're allowed to be smart and say something and be silly at the same time. Like, you could have heart when you had a joke. Like, it could have intention. Like, that all starts in a lot of ways with The Simpsons. And I think a lot of Simpsons fans see that and understand The Simpsons critiques everything. They go after everything, and they're really clever. So why would they have an issue with someone going after them? If you love something, that doesn't mean you can't criticize it. That's how I feel about America. You can love America, and that might be the reason you're criticizing it to begin with, because you have a greater investment in it. And that's how I'm approaching this film. So I hope Simpsons fans see that.
So now, with a politically reactive podcast, you and Kamau have interviewed people like Jake Tapper and Van Jones and Rachel Maddow. I'm curious, what are major cable news organizations getting right, and where are they dropping the ball?
I feel like the media is getting caught up in the president's tweets. You know, I realize it's unprecedented for the president to tweet in response to a Saturday Night Live sketch. But when we got caught up into that, you know, we're being distracted from Russia. We're being distracted from women's rights being destroyed in the healthcare bill and all the people that aren't going to be insured. We're ignoring a lot of things that might be a conflict of interest. He's planting things, and the media just flocks to it without questioning why it's happening. He knows how to work the media. He knows how to say, look over there while he does something else, and we fall for it every time. So I think overall, like, it's been okay, but, and certainly it's been more aggressive, and there's been a harder critique at a president who has a combative relationship with the media. I just wish that we kept the eyes on the prize.
So if I were to hand you the keys to, say, CNN or NPR or even Capital Public Radio here in Sacramento, and I'd say, okay, you're now the news director, what would you change about the scope of the political coverage that we're providing?
I'd begin by talking about what I ate for breakfast that morning. We'll then go into various career stories and interviews with friends and other acquaintances. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody should put me in charge of anything where I can basically be the egomaniac that I am deep on the inside. But I think we'd probably focus less on his internet presence. Tweets are, they're not essays. They're not real complicated public statements. They're instant responses to things. You know, they don't reflect larger policy decisions. If we were to talk about what he tweeted, I think it's a footnote. I don't think it requires four people from around the world to be on TV via satellite and talk about what the president tweeted and what that means. So chances are I'd probably just focus on the legislation part. I'd see how that would affect various people and make that the thing. I feel like our dependence on what people on the internet are saying is a little ridiculous.
So clearly you're no fan of Donald Trump's, if I can put words in your mouth.
That's fair. That's a very polite way to say it, yes.
What, if anything, do you see that could be considered a positive from his presidency?
I think, you know, one positive potentially long-term from this presidency is that it crystallizes a movement on the left. It crystallizes a sense of unity. I mean, when I'm at these marches, I've seen a lot more intersections of different issues. People talk about Black Lives Matter while at the Women's March, because both of those things are connected and both of those things are being attacked. Things like that, like the fact he's going after everybody, forces us to come together. So I'm hoping it activates tons of people around the country who are really engaging in democracy for the first time. There are kids who are seeing what's happening. And Trump speaks in a way that kids understand, for better or worse. And they know he's mean just by the way he speaks. And I feel like even things like that, you know, that's going to motivate a generation not to go down that road again, I hope. I also hope this is rock bottom for democracy. I really hope we see this and are like, this is what happens when you're not careful. This is what happens when you give attention to someone who isn't a serious candidate, who just likes to make a lot of noise, you know, who is saying hateful things. This is what happens. So I'm hoping, like, maybe this is a turning point in the history of our democracy, and that is the most optimistic way to look at it. You know, it's funny. I know that sounds so negative, but, like, it really comes from optimism. I feel like this has to go somewhere. We're fighting for something.
That's comedian Hari Kondabolu speaking with Hey Listen host Nick Bruner back in March of 2017. Since that conversation aired, Hari released a documentary called The Problem with Apu about the Simpsons character and a Netflix comedy series called Warn Your Relatives. Coming up, we'll preview the Sacramento stand-up competition. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.